Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, we're going straight to Lawn Bowl?
Yeah, we'll go to the...
Straight to Divvy 4?
Oh, no, we were going to skip that, weren't we?
No, speak for yourself. It's the only thing I've been concentrating
Div 4
on.
Divvy 4 East,
what's
hey?
It like
How's
to be
that?
Dropped down to Divvy 4?
Well, not drop, but anyway, unavailable Friday night.
Now, can I just check with you, did your Division 1 side win without you?
No, our Premier League side
won without you.
Yeah. Imagine how much we would have won by if I was there.
I've got a suggestion that you might spend a little... Now, why did you finish up in Div 4?
Because they were one short, so yeah, I didn't go to Div 3. They had a full side.
They didn't want you.
Went to Div 4 East.
Div 4 East. Now, can you explain to me and your fellow bowls listeners how on earth a pennant bowler is even allowed to play in Div 4?
Goes on ability. No, apparently if you... If you're unavailable on a Saturday, you can play sort of anywhere and go back up then next week if you're good enough.
Well, I hear that they've made you a permanent spot in Div 4, isn't it?
They probably would like that. Yeah, no, I played in Div 4, enjoyed the day. It was a good day. And our team had a win, so it was good. So all good.
Well,
all right.
If they're playing with a pennant bowler, they ought to win.
I
must confess, I find that very hard to understand that you were allowed to play. I mean,
yeah.
I can understand if you were allowed
sure.
to drop down one grade, but
no, yeah, two. So actually, more than two.
Well, it's a lot
because Div 1, Div 2, Div 3, and Div 4.
Gee, Phil, wow. I didn't realise.
I think I found something.
Have you got a PhD in
math? I found my level.
But I'm more amazed that you could get
a four. I know, four. That's as far as I could go. Anyway, let's get on to the Bross and White Bowls.
Thank God it wasn't Div 6 because you'd have run out of fingers on the one hand you've got.
We've got a Div 6 and Div 7. Okay, let's get into the Bross and White Bowls. Angaston played Lindock, Rick.
Yes.
And Angaston got over the line by 10 shots, 100 to 90. Ian Ellsworthy's rank of Alan Northcott, James Cameron and Josh Turai were the rink of the week there with the biggest win. So, in actual fact, one of the losing side actually equaled them. Darren Green's rink of Betty Williamson, Josh Power and Bob Howe were also equal, are equal with them. And they were in the losing side. So, only 10 shots there. Rick, Kapunda are back.
They're back.
Kapunda, 113. Freeling, 76.
Oh, they've just been
lying low.
I guess, you know, they've got the odds up a bit now and they can start going
now
for that, broke.
Yeah, here they go now. Adrian Green's rink was the biggest winning rink with Marty Ransom, Ned Morgan, ex-Angaston boy, and Andrew McGorman. Andrew McGorman, Rick, is an interesting one. Ex-Adelaide bowler, husband of Lainey, who plays for Adelaide, is our best lady bowler in the state. Andrew is a very, very good bowler. Just filling in a few matches there for Kapunda this year, just to keep his hand in it, but very, very, very good
bowler. I guess
bowler.
If you're filling in, you get paid an extra...
Peter Luckett takes all of that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So he would have to play for nothing.
All right.
And Tanunda, Rick. Tanunda's got their first win against poor old Mount Pleasant. 124 to 87.
Oh, it doesn't say a lot for Mount Pleasant.
Well,
it?
They've been going all right.
Oh,
they've beaten a few sides this year. Oh. Tanunda were sitting bottom. I'm not sure whether I didn't even look at the table this week. Peter Bavistock's rink of Chris Dakey, Kathy Wallace, Bernie Wallace. Well, the Wallace family played in that rink. They were the biggest winning rink for the day. So Tanunda had their first win. Yadunda versus Newry. Yadunda been going very, very well,
they have.
We know.
Yes.
We're sitting second. 68 to Newry, 101.
What?
Yeah, so a couple upsets there, I would have said, on form. Rob Grapey's rink of Trevor Billing, Bob Randall and Hannah Kabooth. Were the biggest winning rink there. So that's about all. I just got to congratulate the boys yesterday. Played a tournament, had updated scores all day
over
at Kapunda.
Yeah.
Peter Luquet, Ian Greenshields, Paul Urijek, and Lee Roberts.
Yes.
Came runners up.
Oh.
I didn't receive the invite to play in that rink, but I'm not sure what happened there. Must have got lost in the mail.
No, I think I can understand that they don't invite Div 4 players.
Funnily enough, they said that, and they said they don't go down to Div 6 either. So, no, well done, boys. In the money yesterday out there at Kapunda in the Dermody 4s. So,
well done.
And I see a team from Kapunda 1 up there with a John Dermody in it, I think. So, that was a good day out there, evidently.
Oh, all good.
So, quickly, Rick, I'll just run through the scores of the Premier League last week. Friday night, of course, the game I missed, Rick. Holdfast Bay 71, Westlake 77, Paynham 74, Modbury 64.
Well, they didn't miss you too much then.
No,
did they
didn't miss me at all. Woodville 63, Lockleys 90, and where's my other one? There we are. Ascot 81, Grange 88, Somerton 79, and Adelaide 65.
And you've assured me that you're back in the Premier comp this week.
Yes, I am. I am. The rumour has it I am back.
Despite not being a selector.
Yeah, but I know him pretty well. Now, we'll skip over the midweek this week, Rick.
You're taking them all out to dinner tonight, mate.
We'll skip over the midweek this week, won't we, Rick?
Yeah, we will. Will we? No.
You were going to bring it up because I got done. your memory's gone bad. Paynham.
I thought you told me not to mention midweek.
I did. But I'm sure you're going to. But we lost by... Played West Lakes 2, like on the Saturday and then on the Wednesday. Same thing on the last bowl of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Paynham 97, West Lakes 99, lost by 2. Should I bring it up, Rick?
Yes, go on.
How did the pears go, Rick?
How did the pears go?
The pears didn't go very well at all. We bowled like woolly goats. They?
Oh, really?
Lost by 12.
12? So,
yeah. Not playing in the pairs as well. Playing in the triples with Paul. So, Paul Urijek. So.
You'll play anywhere if you think you're good. Well,
where they put me.
That's right.
Where they try and hide me.
Yeah, oh, no, Phil. Not.
That's harsh. That's about all on lawn bowls. Last week we said that I think we spent the first 4 minutes talking about me and myself and I. So, there we are, Pete. We haven't this week. I've spread it out a bit.
Well,
over 7 minutes.
Well, I thought we don't normally cover Div 4.
We do now.
Yes, and we might next week.
Yeah. Let's go to the local cricket, Rick. What happened there?
Well, very interesting because after two rounds, I mean, you can't tell anything, but Malalar and South Gawler had two wins out of two, and then Sandy Creek, Tanunda and Greenock, and Newry had one each. Angaston and Lindock were at the bottom of the list, not having had a win. However, the most amazing thing, and it makes you wonder just a little bit about the fluctuation in standards, Lindock are playing Angaston, neither of whom have won a game and resting at the bottom of the table. Lindock won the toss, batted all out 44.
44?
44. Only bloke to make double figures with Nathan Golding, and he made a massive 14. Tom Treloar took 5 for 25 for Ango, and Tyrrell Burgess a 3 for 5. Angaston, obviously with the bad start, 0-2, they very smartly went out, declared at 0 for 48 after only 13 overs. So they've got 10
yep.
points already
yep.
and sent Lindock back in. And they are, believe it or not, in their second dig only at the end of day one, 5 for 66.
Wow.
So you, unless something very weird happened, Angaston are going to rocket up the table with an outright victory over Lindock. Of the 66, Matty Robinson made 24, and this time Ben and Tony 4 for 11 off of 9 overs. So that game is a very one-sided affair.
I just quickly ask, no Trent Birch? Is he playing?
No, not playing.
Not playing?
Well,
okay.
He hasn't played so far.
Okay.
Whether he's retired or not, I'm not sure. But he certainly hasn't fronted up so far.
Yep.
So, South playing South playing Greenock, and South won the toss, batted all out for 207. They batted for the day. Chris Agrasia, 68. Brodie Barker, back from his holiday in Bali or wherever he went, 34. And Danny Kaye, 43. Ben Till took 3 for 41. And Dylan Burchard, 3 for 40 for Greenock. Newry, I had the game between Newry and Tanunda at Newry. The beautiful ground, perfectly presented. Incredible day. Newry won the toss, batted throughout the day. And, of course, at the end of the 75 overs, so they have they're on a compulsory declaration. 8 for 207, somewhat slow. However, the interesting fact is that Luke Steinborner opened the batting, batted all day long. He finished the day's play at 78 not out, having faced 227 balls. But you could argue that was the only way to play because Newry, really, the depth of their batting is not all that strong. Christian Gatmar took 2 for 41. Kyle Gratz, 2 for 36. Trenty Gurs.
Yes. How many did he pick
22
up?
22 overs, 11 maidens, none for 35.
Ooh, he didn't get many runs off him anyhow, did
no,
he?
No, and it'll be interesting. 207 is 207, and it's on the board. Again, I think I've nominated it for Tanunda before. Trent's going to need to make some runs on next week for them to get over there. And he could do it. It would be an interesting game. Sandy Creek. Now, this is unbelievable. At Sandy Creek, playing Malalar. Now, Sandy Creek have won the toss. They are at one stage, 5 for 74, 6 for 82, all out, off of only 50.4 overs for 260, of which Jamie Diner has come in and just made the casual 194 off of only 126 balls, having scored those 194 with 16 fours and 13 sixes.
I could hit a six on the Sandy Creek Oval too.
Well, yeah, that's a fair call. 142 of his 194 came from fours and sixes. I don't know.
Bats.
It's the big bats. And big the combination of big bats and small oval. Mm. Now, I'd argue that Malalar's bowling attack is possibly as good as any in the competition. Mm. But if you've got someone with a hand-eye coordination, it doesn't matter. You just hit them over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, the bloke putting on the 15th hole.
He was dodging cricket balls.
And he was on the other side of the road. Anyway, so in reply, Malalar are 4 for 62. The Rooster, Reece Hankey, failed with the bat, but has got 3 of the 4 wickets, 3 for 16. So it looks like Sandy. Somebody told me that since Malalar have been in the A-grade competition, they have never beaten Sandy Creek, ever.
Is that right?
And they lost to them in the semi-final last year.
Wow.
And it looks like they're going to lose this one too. So there you go. Interesting games of cricket. There you go. Redbacks, what a victory.
Oh, how good are they?
Oh,
here they go now.
They're on a roll.
1-1.
On a roll.
Another one earlier.
Actually,
on.
I did watch, believe it or not, streaming.
Really?
I watched the last sort of, I don't know, three quarters of an hour.
Big crowd?
A huge crowd. But what was interesting was Queensland were cruising. They were going to win the chase down easily.
Yeah.
And then, the Redbacks kept plugging away and got a couple of wickets. Now, don't get me wrong, good listeners. I've got all the time in the world for Usman Khawaja, and he made 100 of that for them in that final innings. However, and it's very easy from Gawler East to, I thought in that last three quarters of an hour when they lost a few wickets, I thought Uzi was a little bit disappointing in that, and of course with hindsight it's easier, but he didn't farm the strike to the extent. I mean, whether he just had the belief that the incoming batters were good enough to survive,
especially against his South Australian attack.
Well, yeah, but in the end, obviously, as the result, they didn't, and so I just thought Uzi could have been a little bit batting smarter, you know, because they were had the field. You know, he could have pushed singles. You know,
well, they even do that in the one day.
Of course they do. Yeah, and I just thought, I thought that they threw away the chance. I mean, you know, there you go. All right.
Well, Ian Chappell was right.
He could have been. He could have been.
That old Jake.
Anyway.
It's not really that good. Yeah, you were only the second best player in your family.
It's a great joke, that.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, the ICC World Cup 50 yep. overs. We're down to the semi-finals. Australia versus South Africa.
South Africa.
And India versus New Zealand. Okay. The, I mean, I think it's fair enough to say
that tips.
The top four sides are playing in the semi-final.
You would think.
On form, on statistics, on every way you like to look at it, India, it will be unjust if India don't win the entire competition. However, in 50-over cricket, anything could happen. My tips are the following.
Yep.
I, despite the fact that they seem to go to water a bit in semi-finals, I'm going to tip South Africa to beat Australia, and I'm going to tip India to beat New Zealand. And then I'm going to tip India to beat South Africa in the final.
Okay. So I think Australia will be versus India. But
probably get them all wrong, won't I? Now, while we have just got a moment or two left, I hear that you are all over the local BLNG football rumours.
A little bit of goss this week. Both the Brown boys, Joey and Callan Brown from Kapunda, off to Salisbury North Footy Club next year. So
the Brown family, the loyalist family in Kapunda.
Live in Kapunda. I'm not sure whether the boys still live in Kapunda, but certainly the parents do. Not far from the oval there. They're off to Salisbury North.
That would have come as a bit of a shock, wouldn't it?
Well, I think so. Now that they've have recruited a couple, you know, you don't want to lose a couple, do you, Rick?
No.
You know, I was in one door and out the other sort of thing. Right. So
you're all over the local footy.
It came up on the Facebook site.
I've heard rumours now, and they are only alleged. I've heard that even though he came and went and always came back to Kapunda, I heard that Joey wasn't possibly the most popular
team member. Have heard that as well.
Yeah.
Even to the fact that changes in a different room.
I've heard that rumour.
Yeah, so it's only alleged, though.
It is only alleged.
We don't know that.
No, we don't.
We don't go spying on that.
We certainly don't. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, you almost associate Kapunda and then put Brackett Brown after it.
Absolutely. I did play with his dad at Tanunda many years ago.
Oh,
Rob,
right.
Yeah, he started his footy at Kapunda. It was ex-centrals type thing. And then he went to Kapunda and played a hell of a lot of games over there. So, anyway, look, Rick, before we wind this great show up, one of the highest rating sports podcasts in
Gawler,
the only one. Next week, hopefully, Rick, might have my niece on. We'll be live from Tanunda.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we'll pick her up down there somewhere, and you can pay for lunch.
We certainly
and
won't be
have
using,
a coffee,
well,
and
if we're going
you
to
can
Tanunda,
pay for all our coffees, actually, and lunch.
If we're going to Tanunda, we certainly can't afford to use Optus.
I'll take the hubcaps off, too.
Anyway, we better have the joke.
Sorry, I sort of got off. So
Phil.
She's going to, she's gone from Central District Footy Club.
Yeah.
She's going to Westies this year. So we're going to try and interview her and see
why the move
and, you know, just have a quick chat to Nicola Biaggi. So,
Oh, that's
interesting.
Very good. Anyway, here we go. You ready?
Yes, ready.
Mick Malthouse, Nathan Buckley and Eddie Maguire go out for dinner one evening, but are involved in a fatal car accident. And standing before God at the throne of heaven. God looks at them and says, "Before granting you a place at my side, I must first ask what you believe in." Addressing Mick first, he asks, "What do you believe?" Mick looks God in the eye and states passionately, "I believe in giving peace a chance, that beauty is something deep within the soul, and there is nothing beyond our reach if you work hard enough for what you believe in." God looks up and offers Mick instantly the seat to his left. He then turns to Nathan, "And you, Mr. Buckley, what do you believe?" Nathan stands tall and proud. I believe courage, honour and passion are the fundamentals to life, and I've spent my whole sporting career providing a living embodiment of these traits, particularly passion. God, absolutely moved by the passionate speech, offers Nathan the seat to his right. Finally, he turns to Eddie, and you, Mr. Maguire, what do you believe? Eddie pauses for a moment and says, I believe that you're in my seat.
How true is that? Now, we're not using the timekeeper's joke this week.
No, we'll use that next week.
We're 20-odd minutes. Warren, we'll use your joke next week. It's a ripper, too.
It is indeed. All right, until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.